This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
Dr. John, I am well today. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Well, I'm hoping that we put the turkey behind us and we can now start moving forward with our developmental plan.
Yeah.
And let's start getting some of the rookies back into the lineup and see what we can develop for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they up to like five star before Michael Carter got hurt at running back. Weren't they up to like about five starters on that were rookies?
The entire team, they're starting seven.
Seven, okay.
They were up to seven, but of course that's a fluid thing on defense.
Yeah.
But they were up to seven is the most they had. But you know that's a lot. But they by far exceed every other team with snaps for rookies this
right.
season. I mean, it's almost like almost 1.5 times the next closest team, and the rest aren't even close. So they're obviously playing a lot of kids. The second half, the rest of the schedule is, it's very favorable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got the Texans, Eagles, they play the Dolphins again, the Jags. So they could end up, winning two or three of those games potentially, but it's going to be one, a decent litmus test to see how they stack up against the other bottom feeders, to see kind of how the progress is. But basically, I just hope that they just keep plugging in, particularly on offense, because that's where they really spent the most time trying to develop. Get Wilson back in this week. They got to get Becton back in that lineup and let him start working with Vera Tucker.
Right.
And let's see going forward because, I think LaFleur is flourishing as a coordinator. And we've seen signs of life when you got people that know how to run the offense. So I do think that offense is not – you know what? I saw a stat, I think it was from either Cimini or Costello, I don't remember which.
Yeah.
The last 4 weeks, since Wilson's been hurt, guess which team in the NFL has averaged the most yards those 4 weeks?
That's right.
The New York Jets.
Wow.
I was flabbergasted. Like 432 yards, I think, a game they're averaging. Something along that line. So it's going to be interesting to see if and what Zach Wilson learned when he was on the bench. Hopefully he'll dial it back in and stop playing Mahomes ball and start playing within the system. And let's see what happens. It's going to be an interesting week against the Texans because, they'll give him a basic, cover two. So let's see what he does with it.
What did you think of the COVID-19 with Mike White getting the positive test and an unvaccinated Joe Flacco getting COVID contact?
It's frustrating. I don't understand how these guys, especially they're vaccinated, keep coming up with COVID. I mean, are they just not taking precautions in the first place? That seems to be very frustrating. And then, Flacco's not vaccinated. They must have known this before they knew before I traded for him because he had to sit out before he could join the team.
Right.
At some point, John, it's just irresponsible. It's irresponsible from the top down. I'm sorry. I'm tired of this whole vaccination thing.
Yeah.
Get the damn shots and move forward. Let's put this thing behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And until everybody buys into it, we're just going to have these residual problems.
I agree. I mean, I don't understand it either.
Come on. What is it that you're trying to do? What is it you're trying to prove? And, you get these guys, and it's like, God knows what they put in their bodies, these HGH and all this other stuff, so they can bounce back, legal steroids or whatever you want to call them, to keep them bouncing back and whatnot. But they won't take these vaccinations. I mean, it's just, I just don't get it. I don't really want to go there. But it's just frustrating, and it's unnecessary. I tell you, if I were the Packers, I'd have been furious with Rodgers.
Oh, don't you think they are?
Well, they better be. And if not just the organization, but if I'm his teammates, I'd be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only, I mean, he just flat out lied to everybody.
Right.
And it's one thing if you, okay, if you want to take the stand, you want to be the Cole Beasley, okay, fine, don't take this, okay, fine. All right, at least we know where you are, where you stand, whatever. But don't, you know, but don't try to, you know, parse syllables here and try to get around something and just be, you know, too cool for school and too cute. Mm-hmm. And do what Rodgers did. I think he did a grave disservice to his team.
Agreed. Well, and it cost him a game.
Yeah.
He ended up losing a game because of it.
And they're darn lucky. And quite frankly, if I'm the rest of the league, I'd have been furious that he wasn't suspended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Saints. The
yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, it's like the way that the rules are with the Players Association, you really can't suspend him. You can fine him because he could be fined up to $50,000, but you can't suspend him.
Yeah. I know, but it just, I would be furious. But hey, one game is a lot, especially when you're, you know, when you're in the Packers and you're in the hunt, it's in the hunt as tight as it is. One game's too many, you know? I mean, a toe is one thing, not getting a shot's another.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the NFL where they shoot you up for just about everything. I don't know, John. What's your take of the Jets here going the rest of the way out? What are you going to be looking for? What do you want to see out of them?
I mean, just some improvement on the offensive line. You know, it's like I'd like to see some improvement at wide receiver. I'd like to see some improvement on defense, but I don't know about that, if that can happen.
You know, cause
defensively, they're just so young, and they don't have much at linebacker, and the secondary I'm not sold on. You know, it's like there's so many questions on this team because, you know, you look at a team, and it's like in a 2-3 year rebuilding process.
Yeah. Yep. And you're smack dab in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they're playing a lot of kids, so you're going to get it. But I think, to be honest with you, the Dolphin game, I was impressed with for this reason. You know, we talked about previously how Salah's big job is going to try to keep everybody on the same page.
Right.
And on their page. And the defense, it's just like these guys were off the plan, especially the defensive linemen. I mean, there was no discipline, no gap discipline whatsoever. And they dialed that back in against the Dolphins. Now, I also don't know, you know, level of competition. Okay, fine. But be that as it may, they were exerting, you know, their one-gap discipline. They were setting edges. They had dialed the discipline part back in on the defense. And that, to me, is very important because, you know, what is Salah's biggest challenge? Keeping these guys to buy in. And the Dolphin game was definitely a game where it seems like they were back on track in that regard. Now, they should have won the game, quite frankly, but that game was lost at several different levels, a lot of immaturity, some couple of bad penalties, and just some terrible clock management yet again. So we're seeing the growing pains with the coaching staff as well, and they gave that game away. But I will say that the Dolphins game is more of what I was wanting to see during the course of the year, in which they're playing better. They're making stupid mistakes, which you expect, all from the top down. But they're playing reasonably well. They were showing signs of life. So I'm curious to see if they're going to be able to carry that forward, especially because they got the Texans and Eagles, the Saints and the Dolphins and the Jags back-to-back. So, you know, they've got some favorable matchups here. They shouldn't be blown out the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to get a couple wins out of this thing because, again, it's just been a bad season. I mean, certainly it'll affect their draft position, but I don't think they care about that. I think at some point you just got to think about winning, particularly with a new coach.
Yeah, because you got to build the culture, and the culture has to have, you know, you have to have some positives. You know, I mean, you can't just say, oh, we lost 27-24, but darn, we played hard. You know, at some point you got to start winning. I mean, just look what it did for the team last year. Although it killed their, you know, it killed their draft status, but just what it did in that clubhouse when they did win their game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the stuff you got to start building on. There's got to be some cheese at the end of the mousetrap. So a couple wins would be nice. And they'll say, hey, they're still going to be in the top five as far as draft.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, so, okay, if it's, you know, 3 or 4 instead of, you know, 2 or, you know, whatever, that's fine. You're still going to get a decent draft picks out of it. And I'm more anxious to see where the Seahawks finish up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be, if they, you know, keep wallowing in the particular mire that they're in, that could be a particularly large boon for the Jets in the draft.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, potentially 2 picks in the top 10, that could certainly help.
that could definitely turn things around. The other thing, last thought is, the one thing I've watched the Dolphins now a little bit the last couple weeks, and I'm given the amount of tremendous draft capital they've had the last, what, 2-3 years,
yeah,
and of course they have the next year or so going forward, I'm kind of surprised they're not as more loaded on talent as I thought they were going to be. I don't know. I mean, you probably know more about the Dolphins really than I do, but I'm a little disappointed in what they've got going so far.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Especially on defense.
Yeah, because again, what you're looking at is that they just don't seem to be in sync with you know, because I think what's happened is that they've done a bad job of management because they've given away too much talent. I mean, what, last year they signed Kyle Van Noy, big money. They end up cutting him, and he goes to New England, and he's helping out New England as a backup. Then, I mean, you look at the receivers they've given up in the last couple of years, the lack of running backs, where they're always trying to pick up running backs because they don't have enough. I just shake my head and say, what are you guys doing?
And their offensive line is not very strong.
No, it isn't good at all.
No, and that surprises me the most because, I mean, you know, it was tank for Tua, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they've gone through the nonsense of trying to court Deshaun Watson, and that's, you know, got to make it awkward in the locker room for Tua. But it seemed to me that, I mean, and they've had the draft capital.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to spend the capital on a quarterback, you know, also spend it to protect them.
Right.
I mean, it goes hand in glove. And if you're not going to do that, that just makes absolutely no sense. And that seems to be what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I don't understand is their defenses that they play.
Yeah.
They seem incredibly reckless.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly reckless. Now, I understand they've got decent, you know, decent secondary, and that's clear. But, man, talk about leaving them on an island and an awful lot of gambling. It just seems to be way, way too too risky of defenses that they play. It seems very strange in their strategy.
It does. Hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
All right, take care, John. We'll see what we get against the Texans, and we may come back with a W. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Connie in Seattle. Hey, Connie.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. It's a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for years. I have a question that I've noticed about Russell. Ever since his mental coach passed away, it just seems like he doesn't have anybody to talk to about his struggles and things. And I don't know. Have you noticed anything like that?
Now, who are we talking about?
Russell Wilson and his mental coach passing away.
Yeah. I mean, he's got enough support right now that, you know, it certainly does hurt because he gets so tight with the people that he works with. But again, he has so many different people that he has as consultants. But, you know, I don't know if it plays into anything other than the fact that he lost somebody that he cares about a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I just seen his demeanor on the sideline a little bit different. Also, can I ask you a couple questions about the defense?
Of course.
So when we played Green Bay, after the game, Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, they played all this different stuff. I didn't notice it. And then the following week, we go back to our same defense. I don't understand why we don't mix it up more.
They mix it up a little bit. I mean, they use some 7 defensive backs. You know, they try to use a little bit more of some hybrid type stuff. I mean, they mix it up. But right now, the defense hasn't been the problem. It's been the offense that's been the problem more so than the defense. And then what ends up happening is the defense is on the field for 72.4 plays a game, and they wear down by the middle of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree on that. I don't think they're using Jamal Adams as well as they could be. I watch him line up on the line, and he just tries to rush in, and he runs into the blocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, of course, I think, you know, what's happened is obviously offenses are a little bit more aware of him, you know, because of how good he was last year with the blitz. And so now they anticipate that he's going to blitz, and so they try to pick him up. But, they need to find more ways to get Jamal to do better things. You know, I think he's doing okay, particularly in the last month or so. But, again, they need more from Jamal Adams.
And also, do you think some of the offensive struggles are because that Russell doesn't look for the shorter pass and wants to go deep a lot. I mm-hmm. noticed that he threw into double coverage several times in the Arizona game.
Yeah, I think that's the case in the last two games, you know, because, you know, knowing that now he still can throw deep and he throws well to throw deep. But again, I mean, you risk so much because, you know, you like to have that rhythm with the short passes and you're not getting that rhythm. And so I think that, you know, they need to kind of shorten some things up.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, John.
Hey, Connie, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Ed in Shoreline. Hey, Ed.
Good morning, JC.
Good morning.
Happy belated Thanksgiving to you and Pat. Hope it was a good one and hope you had a good date night last night.
Yeah, we did. Had a good one. Very good.
Awesome.
She enjoyed it a lot.
Awesome. Where'd you go?
We actually went to Dino's, which is like 3 minutes away from where we live. And what's nice about Dino's is that Pat likes the food. She was able to get a Impossible Burger, which is because she doesn't eat meat, but it's a non-meat burger. She liked that a lot. And then the great part is they're nice enough to put the quiz channel, like Tap, on the middle TV. And so both Pat and our caregiver Lou were able to go and try to answer some of the quiz questions, and they just had a blast with that. Now, we went earlier because, again, the worry was with the Apple Cup that we thought that there'd be a big crowd, which there was, and we wanted to get there early so, number one, we'd get a seat, and then, number two, we get there early enough that we weren't going to be delayed in the food service because, again, you're going to have so many people ordering food, it was going to be, so delayed. So that worked out real well, but, she had a great time. That's like the third time now in the last, 6 weeks or so we've gone there to Dino's, and she loved it.
That's great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad things worked out with the Impossible Burger. Some of those non-meat burgers are really quite tasty.
Uh-huh.
Well, John, so are we headed toward the bottom of the doldrums of sports in Seattle again since before the Seahawks' second Super Bowl run? This looks pretty tough right now.
It does.
And they're talking about going 7-0 from now on. That seems like quite a bit of a stretch, but
right.
Time will tell, obviously.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I mean, obviously, tomorrow is the defining game, because if you lose that, you're 3-8 and you're done. You're not going to go anywhere. So it's like they've got to be able to win in Washington, and Washington's in the same boat. They've got to be able to win, too. And so you put the two together. I mean, this is a desperation game for both teams. Washington's defense, which was number two in the league last year, is now one of the worst in football for whatever reason. And then you look at Seattle, they're just so bad on offense. In fact, I'm sitting here writing something for 710sports.com, and I know I talked to one of the coaches this week in the league, and they said, this league right now is a league of third down conversions and red zone success. Well, I'm just looking at the third down conversions, and Seattle's like 32.4 conversion rate, which is the second worst in football, just ahead of Jacksonville. And then on red zone, they're in the bottom five or six. And they've got 16 touchdowns in the red zone, but they've only had 24 opportunities, which is one of the worst. And so you put both together, and you can see why this offense is only getting like 55 plays a game, is not doing well, it's not scoring points, and it's been horrible.
Yeah, it really has, John. At the Arizona game last week, that was really a big disappointment. I was really glad to be there, though,
yeah.
Being able to look at what Russ is actually seeing downfield, since you don't really see that on TV very well. But, I would echo, I believe it was Connie, your previous caller there, that talks about, is Russ unwilling to take the shorter passes? And the guys that sit next to me were going on and on about the fact that he won't take the shorter passes.
Yeah.
He wants to keep pushing it downfield. And you go back to the days of Joe Montana, it's like he used to use the short passes to stimulate the running game. And I go back to my theme of last week and won't get off of it till they actually do this. The Seahawks are unable to execute a screen pass. And on the other side of the ball, they're getting killed by the screen pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's football right now, because, again, it's like you got a mobile quarterback, and you want to try to get into a rhythm, and you can get into a rhythm when you're throwing the shorter passes and, taking five-step drops and three-step drops and things like that, whereas if you're throwing the longer passes, just more like seven-step drops, and that's where you leave yourself in trouble. Too many sacks, four sacks last week, that wasn't good.
Agreed. It's like a few days have passed now, and so all the people wanting Carroll's head last Sunday have kind of died down.
No, they haven't. No, they still want Pete fired.
No, you don't think that?
Oh, no. It's like it's crazy. I mean, it's like they want Pete fired. They want everybody fired. It's like what are you going to do? It's like you're going to completely rebuild the franchise? It's ridiculous.
You'll have no coaches at all. I mean, and I'm certainly not on the bandwagon of saying that Pete's a bad coach. I mean, he is not a bad coach. I mean, he's, going to be a Hall of Fame coach, as you say, over and over again. But at the end of the day, you kind of wonder if he doesn't pull things together here, if he should just say, well, I had a good run. It's like at some point, John, the same message just doesn't resonate like it used to. And after you've been at the same place for so long, things just lose their effectiveness. That's just, it's moving toward the mean, if you will, regression to the mean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I tell you, I mean, again, it's like, take a look at the big picture, right? Okay, they won 12 games last year. They've only missed one chance to go to the playoffs since Pete's been here. Then look at Bill Belichick. So Bill Belichick, let Tom Brady go, and Tom Brady leaves, and they win seven games. I mean, say what you want about the schedule and the record and everything else. In the end, this team's going to win, if the very least, six or seven games because of the way the schedule is. I mean, they're not going to lose to Chicago, Detroit, and Houston. We'll see how they do against Washington. But it's like, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. I mean, it looks pretty questionable at that regard, but if they win seven wins, it's like, okay, this is the same as New England last year, and it's like, should Bill Belichick have stepped down? No,
I mean, I agree, but I think that things need to be changed a bit. I think everyone would agree with that. And before you let me go, I do want to say something about the Raiders game, and I really can't say enough about and you've already said it as well, and I don't know if Raider Jim was on already.
He was not, no.
If so, I missed him. But, the work that Derek Carr is doing for the Raiders is just phenomenal. I mean, he truly is a warrior, as you've said, and I just was so impressed at how he gathered the team, and they were productive on virtually every drive. I mean, they maybe had like one three and out.
Yeah.
Like every situation where they look like they're backed up and things are going to be difficult, he just came through like it was unbelievable.
No doubt. I mean, no, I give him a lot of credit because you think about the issues he's had at wide receiver, you know, the issues he's had with, you know, injuries to Jacobs in the secondary or in the running back, the offensive line problems. I mean, he's been a warrior. And I think that, you know, the fact that he was able to pull out that win was huge. And so now, hey, say what you want, they still have a chance to maybe get a wild card or two, and they're back in the playoff hunt. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, have a great Saturday, John.
All right, thank you. Hey, Jeff in Kent, stay on the line. We're going to come back to you. We're going to take a break. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Kent. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Hey, John. It was a great day yesterday. Christmas comes early to the Palouse.
I know. How about that win?
That's got to be the best Apple Cup since the snowball.
40-13. I mean, it was an absolute one-sided blowout.
The two things that stick in my mind most about that game was, first off, the three middle-aged Husky fans in the stands in the fourth quarter. The two guys looked interested, and the woman looked like she had a turd underneath her nose.
Yeah.
And the other thing is watching Delora take the Cougar flag and just stab it in the heart of that Husky W at midfield after the game. That was a beautiful sight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you wait 7 years for eight years for a game like that, and then just to be rewarded, I mean, that had to be huge. So now what do you think happens with the Washington State interim coach? Does he get the full-time job?
It depends on what happens in the next game or so, because right now I am a big Beaver believer. I want those flat-tailed river rats to kick the quack out of those ducks and send the Cougs to the Pac-12 title game against Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a good bowl. And if he wins that and wins the bowl, yeah, I'll give him the job.
Yeah, but I tell you what, he's done a great job. They seem to be well organized. They seem to be on the same page. And I'm just impressed with the offense. I mean, the offense, obviously the defense did a good job, but I'm really impressed with the way that the offense has been able to work.
Well, it would have been worse if you take away or give Borky that 60-yard touchdown run on that weak holding call that ref called. I mean, that was so bad. The guy wasn't anywhere near the play, and they call holding on him just for
that was
so bad. But you add that on, and then you take a couple of the field goals that they kicked, you know, that were down at the goal line, you turn those into touchdowns. This thing could have been an absolute rout, and I just loved every minute of it.
I can imagine you would. I mean, it had to be.
Oh, yeah. Just watching the Huskies just go down in flames and watching Hewitt, because I can't stand the Hewerts. I'm sorry, but I can't stand them.
No, they're close friends, so it's like I can't endorse that.
I know, but I can't stand them. I've been having to deal with the Hewerts and listening to them on TV and radio and everything, and just watching them pump up that kid and watching him get picked off four times is just going to be. Can't wait for next year, but it's just so I'm just so happy and it's so good. You know, Christmas comes early to the Palouse, and now we get to watch the Cougar basketball team just break through the Pac-12. And it will. Barring injury or some kind of meltdown, that Cougar basketball team is just going to kick the crud out of the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, they got everything on that team. They got the shooting guards. They got the bench. They got depth. They got a big front line that's just tough and strong. And it's just going to be just like, watching the Apple Cup, watching this Cougar basketball season is going to be a joy to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, it's been a great year for Washington State. I mean, I don't think anybody totally expected it like this, but, I mean, it looks so good and so enjoyable. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, just sit back and enjoy it.
Well, who would have thought that we got a chance, a shot at the 12 North title after everything they've gone through? We actually got a shot at a title game with Utah if the doggone Beavers will do their job.
The question is, can they do it?
They can. That's a good Beaver team. If they step up, they can do it. The Duck team is overrated, I think. It's just they're living on their reputation and name. They're a good team, but not as good as everybody's, you know, portraying them to be.
They sure didn't look good last week. They looked terrible.
They beat the Dogs. They beat the Cougs, but, you know, they're not that good. They're beatable. And just if the stars align right and the Cougs can go and beat Utah and get a class bowl game, and they wound up being ranked this year, because if they beat, you know, after this game and what happens today, there's a good chance they could sneak into like 24-25.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're just up the ladder. And Galora, watching him just pick apart the Huskies last night, I mean, the throws he were making, that kid's got an arm on him. The wide and out throws that he was making to the sidelines, if he didn't have enough on those things, a couple of those could have been picked. But, you know, and watching that Coup defense just tear apart. I mean, look at what the Huskies had. What do they have, like under 20 yards total rushing for the game?
Right.
It's just, you know, it's just, all I can say is it's just a beautiful day, beautiful holidays, and hope you have a good Christmas and a good holidays, John. And all I can say is go Cougs, and Dogs can suck it.
There you go. Hey, Jeff, thank you for the phone call.
Let's
go to Rich in Monroe. Hey, Rich.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, so I understand it was still mathematically possible to get that wild card, correct?
Yeah, they can.
Okay.
Yeah, because, again, what you're looking at right now, particularly with New Orleans floundering, is that you only have five teams right now with winning records in the NFC. And so with that in mind, you know, the sixth and seventh spots are reasonably open. And so you can anticipate that if you have nine wins, you know, you may get one of the two spots that can be there. So if this team can find a way to get the nine wins, then they have a chance to make it. There's maybe an outside chance that an eight-win team could get in there. But in the end, I mean, the chance is there, but they've got to start winning.
Right. So okay. Because I thought maybe like if we lost one more, that was it. There's just no way.
No, there's way. But, I mean, you know, what plays in their schedule, and that's why the Washington game is so important, and that, the Arizona game was important too, because, you know, the way this schedule goes, you've got Washington right now. They had a losing record this year, and then you've got Houston, Chicago, and Detroit. They're all winnable games, so that could get you to seven if you can win the Washington game tomorrow, and then you needed to go 2-2 in the division. That's why the Arizona game was so disappointing, because now you lose that game, and can you go 2-2 in the division? And right now I think that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I have a feeling about that too.
Yeah.
Now, if for some reason we are mathematically out, do you think they'll just bench Russell for the rest of the season?
No, I don't think so.
Risk injury?
No, I don't think so.
What would be the point of playing him
He's the starting quarterback. He's not going to want that. If you bench him, he's going to want to get out of here. I mean, it's like he's the starting quarterback, and he loves playing the game. And he cares so much about, you know, winning, being on the team, and all that stuff. He's not going to concede that.
Right.
You bench him, you lose him. Simple as that.
But then you also risk injury for no reason.
Well, it's like, injuries are all part of the game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is playing with the toe injury, and you got injuries all around the league for quarterbacks and stuff like that. But again, the starting quarterbacks want to play.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I just was curious what Pete might do.
I mean, you bench him, you lose him. Simple as that. I mean, he doesn't want to sit there and watch on the sidelines.
Oh, of course not. I wouldn't want to either.
No. So it's like, why bench him? I don't see the reason.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like it's a finger injury. He can play. He's been cleared to play. He may not be playing great, but he still can play.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, John. I appreciate your input.
Okay, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Steve in Skyway. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, John. How
good morning.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. First off, the other side of the Jeff conversation you had, yeah. You're talking to one pissed off Husky fan this
Understandable.
Morning. What that interim coach did to those kids yesterday was criminal. Starting Sam Heward, he's going to be a good player, but he's not ready.
Uh-huh.
And emotionally,
I think that was pretty evident yesterday.
Yeah, and he gutted the team by not giving him a chance. The kid that he benched had beat Heward out, so he should have been the starter.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to go to another subject. Let me ask you, what percentage do you think of the NFL offensive coordinators in the league right now are what I call script boys, this 15-play scripted scenario that they do?
I'd say probably 90%.
90%?
Yeah.
Because my question was, it seems like I watched a game 2 weeks ago when Cleveland was playing New England.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first six plays, the Cleveland coach ran D'Ernest Johnson behind that great offensive line they got.
Yeah.
And he was averaging 10 yards a carry. And then he went away from it and started having Baker throw all over the field, and the next thing you know, they get dusted 45-6 or whatever it
mm-hmm.
was. So these coaches actually accept this as a good way to run their offenses, huh?
They do, yeah, because, again, you plan it out. You may make an adjustment or two as the game goes on, but again, if you have this 15-play script, I mean, you try to follow it as best you can because you figure, hey, we spend a whole week looking at the opponent's defense. We see where the holes we think are and then try to execute it so that you can try to move the football. But, of course, I mean, you know, the big problem with Kevin Stefanski in that game, despite the success of the third-string running back, is that he was a third-string running back. And, you know, the Stefanski offense is so dependent on the run. And then, of course, I mean, you try to set it up so that, I mean, you've got Baker Mayfield trying to throw the ball. But, again, it's like Baker Mayfield has just been too hurt.
Right, right. And then I also wanted to ask you about the Seahawks owner, Jody Allen.
Yeah.
Could you share with us what you know about what kind of management style does she have? Is she impulsive? Is she pragmatic? And then, as far as the owners go, usually in the owners, there's certain cliques. There's certain mm-hmm. owners that hang together. Is there anyone that she particularly knows or hangs with, or does she go to the owners' meetings?
I don't even know if she goes. Well, we haven't really had too many owners' meetings in the last year and a half because of the COVID-19. But, I mean, she pretty much takes a position that she's going to let the football people run the football operation, kind of like Paul did, you know, because Paul, you know, he was more involved with the basketball team than he was the football team. I mean, he owned it, but again, he let the football people run the team.
Okay. You don't think that she's not, she doesn't strike you as an impulsive person that would.
No.
Okay. And then the last thing, of course, Battle of the Bands, John.
Mm-hmm.
Cameo versus Parliament.
I like Parliament. I
mean, Parliament, right on.
Yeah, Parliament Funkadelic. I mean.
Okay, my man. Hey, good talking to you. Talk to you next week.
All right, Steve. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Bothell. Hey, Bob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John. I know this is probably going to bother you with this call, but I have to say it, that I think this era with Pete Carroll and Snyder, it's over.
Oh, jeez.
You know, now let me give you my reason.
Okay.
You know, I backed it up. Look at from 2016. All the draft picks that we've gotten through Snyder and Pete era. You know, you got Jermaine Orfetti, Rashad Penny, Jordan Brooks. Look at that, just right there.
Brooks is good.
Compared to they're not good. Man.
No, you're wrong. Brooks is good.
Yeah, Brooks is good out of the four, and that's it. And then you got Bust, Rashad Penny, Jermaine Orfetti, he plateaued.
He started for 4 years. You got to understand. And I say this every friggin' week. If you're going to the playoffs every year, right? You draft
and losing the first game.
No, you
go
draft
to the playoff.
Can I speak? Am I allowed to speak here on my radio show?
Whatever.
Yeah, but what do you mean, whatever? I mean, it's like what you're looking at is that you're getting a second-round pick because there's only going to be 18 to 20 picks in the first round that are going to have first-round grades. And so you're getting a second-round pick. And so if you can't trade down like John Snyder likes to do and get extra draft choices, then you have to take a guy. But like, for example, you know, you can look at Nifedi and say, well, he wasn't any good. He started for 4 years. You only have a 25% success rate with guys drafted in the 20s. I mean, because, again, they, for the most part, they're not going to be Pro Bowlers. For the most part, they're not going to get contract extensions. For the most part, you know, there's a good chance that they could end up being traded before their 4 years are up on their rookie contracts. It's just a reality. Let's go to Risco in Washington. Bob just dropped off. So, hey, Risco.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Yes, so I got some...
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have some questions for you. Who is the best candidate for defensive coordinator?
I mean, if there's going to be a change for the Seahawks, I would have to think that Gus Bradley would be, you know, one of the better choices because he, you know, because he's you know, he's with the Raiders. Raiders have fired their coaching staff, or not, no, not fired their coaching staff, but you know, John Gruden stepped down. So I think that the fact that he's been here could put him in a position to come back. And, you know, because he does a good job. He did a good job with the Chargers. He's actually done a good job with the Raiders. And maybe they'll keep him there. But I think that Gus Bradley would be a good choice to be a defensive coordinator if they make a change from Ken Norton Jr.
Yeah, and I know the Mariners are in the looks for a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Will they sign Max Scherzer?
Probably not. I mean, I don't see that being the case. I know I didn't take a look closely at the story that the Times had out today, the Seattle Times, but they listed about 9 pitchers right now that they're interested in. And, you know, they better do something reasonably fast here because, again, there's been like 7 that I think have signed. And, you know, you start to run out of ammunition right now if you're trying to get a starter to upgrade the pitching staff. And they want to try to get 2. So it's like if you're going to be Jerry DePoto, let's get going.
And what about third baseman?
Third baseman? You know, I haven't looked at the third base list, but, you know, I mean, they've got to do something there or the second base or whatever. So those are the 2 main areas. I mean, they need a couple hitters, not just 1. So they need, you know, 2 hitters, 1 at second base, third base, and 1 maybe for first base or DH, and then certainly 2 starting pitchers.
And what are they going to do when Kyle Lewis returns and Jake Fraley's out of the lineup? Where will he play?
Maybe he can be the fourth offensive lineman. He can also certainly do some things at first base, DH, and all those different things. He's a versatile enough player that you can find a lot of things that he can do.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right, Risco. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.